woman, Rhoda Simon and Natalie Mandelblatt, are interviewing Aaron Levinson on June 20th, 1977. Can you start telling us about as far back in your family as you can remember?
Okay. Well, the very first thing that I remember is my grandfather, my father's father, who was a junk peddler. Now, I say I remember him. I remember him so vaguely. I remember his death, but he died when I was like 3 years old.
Oh.
It's hard to believe that somebody three could remember a death, but it's in my head, and I remember very well how it all happened. But I do remember my family living, like my father's family, his mother and dad, and those unmarried children, living at the corner of Pride Street and Locust Street, which was just a stone's throw away from the company office. The company office was on Pride Street, down a little further down towards Ford. I do remember there, living there for many years. At one time, my grandfather had a horse and a wagon, and went around and actually picked up all the junk that he could, old tires, old grass bedsteads, metal of any kind, pots and pans and everything else, and brought it back to his yard on Pride Street. Of course, I remember that yard so well. I remember one part of it where the old tires were, and I remember another part of it where there was a shear. It was a shear that cut metal, and it just kept going up and down, and nobody stepped on it, and there was one old black guy, forget his name, but he was a tradition around our place. Well, he just wanted to cut things up into little pieces, not measured or anything. He'd just stick it in, and it would just keep going up and down and cutting anything that got in its way. But this old guy used to say to my dad, and of course it's something that's been passed along from generation to generation. My dad was Sam, he'd say, Sam, just like your old man, he said, never die as long as you live. So, I remember that scrapyard. Now, right adjoining the scrapyard, although you couldn't see it because they were back to back on the next street, on Marion Street, was Mazewski's, and he was old paper, I think, and rags, I'm not sure. And that was something that my grandfather didn't handle. And my father later, and his brothers as they came along. But those are the memories that I have of my very early family. I remember the wartime. I remember going to the YMHA when the Jewish soldiers came back from the war. I remember I was only a very, very little boy, and you see, the Y had several locations prior to its present location, and it's very vague in my mind, but I know that, and it can easily be established where the different buildings were, but if I remember correctly, there was
Center Avenue was one.
Well, I'm just really not sure. But I do remember that when the boys came back, there was I remember being in a big hall with all these soldiers, and it was a Y. But it seemed to me as though there were a couple of different locations on Fifth Avenue. But I'm really not sure exactly. It seems like there was one down Fifth Avenue toward town, and then at a later date they had one up Fifth Avenue toward or around Fifth Avenue High School. But I could be wrong about the exact location. But I do remember that they had the Y with those various locations. And it may be that one of them, I could have the Y mixed up with the Coffee Club, which was a movie, which was because in my mind, I remember my uncle Harvey playing basketball. He may have played for the Coffee Club, but it may have been in the Y building. But I remember the location of the present location of the Pittsburgh Outdoor Advertising Company was the location of either the Y or the Coffee Club, and I'm not sure which. But I do remember that location, and I do remember that my dad and some of his friends, I mean some of the people who he knew over the years, played basketball for the Y way back in those days. And when I was 5, 6, 7 years old, these guys would take their sons with them when they'd have a game or when they'd have practice. I remember some of the people who played on those teams. There was my dad, and there was Frank Skirbel and Ob Glick and guy named Goldman, Max Goldman, and of course Max's brother is Maury, who's still living. He had the second story Maury, but Max played for that old Y team, and then I had an uncle, his name was Harry Rubin, played on that old Y team, and he was my mother's brother, but I remember that some of them would bring their sons. And I remember basketball, one time they allowed us little guys, they even gave us uniforms. And there was Billy Skirbel and Frank Lick and Mort Goldman and Ralph Rayfield. Ben Rayfield was also on the team, and Ralph Rayfield. Those were the five of us. Herbie Rosenthal, who's a present friend of mine, told me he was also one of those guys, and his dad played. His dad's name, I think, was Harry Rosenthal. So those are some of the memories that I had about my family, about the scrap business, about the old Y's, and about the wartime, and about the basketball team.
I neglected to ask you your birthday, which we need for.
I was born November 20th, 1914. If I was a woman, I wouldn't tell you that.
Do you know any of the circumstances of your grandparents' immigration to this country?
No, but I do know that my four grandparents all were all born in Russia and all married in Pittsburgh. I really don't know. Somebody interviewed my mother, and she probably did know. I just don't know exactly how and why they came. But somebody sent for whom, if I remember correctly, my father's father, and my father's mother knew each other in Russia. Came here first, and then he sent for his girlfriend. If I remember correctly, when she got married, she was 16. I'm pretty sure she told me that. And she used to tell me stories about Russia when I was a very little boy, but I don't remember them. One had to do with her playing on top of some ovens. Can't remember any more of it than that. So far, I'm sure there's nothing that would be of value to go into your book. All I can tell you is what I remember.
No, we're always interested in background. When you were little, you did live on Pride and Locust.
I did.
Oh, your grandfather.
My grandparents did. I'm pretty sure he died in that home. At one time, they lived in the location that our Levins and Steele's office was, at 33 Pride, and then they turned that into an office, and then moved up to the next corner. But no, I wasn't born there. When I was born, my parents lived on Dinwiddie Street. And pretty sure my mother walked to the Pasadena Hospital to have me. It wasn't very far. It was just a couple of blocks. But pretty sure she walked there. But my parents lived on Dinwiddie Street when I was born, and then a year or two later, they moved to Oakland to Argentina Place, which is later became Oakland Square. They moved back and forth. I mean, they changed the name back and forth between Argentina Place and Oakland Square. I don't know which it's called now. I think Oakland Square.
Do you remember much about the atmosphere? Was it especially religious when you were a youngster?
My mother kind of brought with her more of a tradition of the Orthodox religion than my dad did. It was an interesting thing, but my mother's parents were friendly with my father's father. Long before my mother and dad met each other. But my mother, I know that my mother's father was a rabbi and an Orthodox rabbi, and I know that they were strictly kosher. They wouldn't light a match on Saturday, and they'd get whatever they call it, a Christian boys, men, and light a match if they had to. For some reason or another, but they wouldn't even light a match on. I guess they liked the stove, that's what they did. They had a name for that. You probably heard it.
I have heard it, and I don't know
what they called it. But my mother brought the Orthodox Judaism into our home. And I know that for the first years of their marriage, they had a strictly kosher home with different sets of dishes and everything. That didn't last during my entire childhood, but it lasted. So my mother probably knew, and probably told you already, that we lasted for the first 8 or 10 years. But there was a tradition of adherence to Judaism that was inherent in both families. But I didn't really know much. My grandfather was a rabbi. Pretty sure he died before I was born. Chris's wife, I knew, was dead when I was 8 years old.
And what were your economic circumstances then?
Well, my grandfather had this rep and my father came into the company when I was a very little child. Prior to that, he was in the grocery business. And he worked for Heller and Jaron as a salesperson. And I think prior to that, he was a bookkeeper for the Capital Breaking Company. I tell you, it's an interesting phenomenon. I was going to check this out before you came in. My father was a bookkeeper for Kaplan Baking Company, many years ago, before I was born, and I'm 62, 63 years old. Kaplan Baking Company must be a very old company. If it's the same Kaplan Baking Company, and I guess it is, after all these years, Levins and Steele is now doing their bookkeeping, because we're doing their computer work. So it's really kind of an interesting phenomenon. I wouldn't want you to quote me on that unless I checked it out to see whether it was really the same company. It probably was. But they had the, and Father had the scrap business, and of course, you know, having a scrap business, being an entrepreneur didn't make you a rich man. And I do know that that my mother was found it necessary to be very careful about her about spending money all the years, and just we lived in very moderate circumstances in a very moderate type house, which we would call Southern Devon. I remember college times when they talked about the fact that they had the missed payment of the rent. And of course, I remember very distinctly when the Depression started that they really went through rough times to try to keep the business going and not to lose it. And I do remember that the brothers that were in the business at that time took no payment. And it was only, they lived on whatever savings the wives had put away over the years. So the economic situation was not great. I'm sure there were people poorer than we were. We never missed a meal. We had clothing to wear. And I'm sure that the essential things were there, but I wasn't even sure. During my early childhood, there was another Jewish club called, that was a summertime club called the Summer Outing Association. It was a family recreation center, probably much like the now the Monroeville Center, except it was much smaller. And it was just Jewish people that would go. They had barracks, and the men would go there sometimes stay overnight, and sometimes my dad would bring me, and I would sleep in the barracks every night. But on Sundays, the families would come out. There was always a baseball team, a baseball game between the single guys and the family guys. They had a tennis court, and they had a luge. The luge was a dammed up creek. The luge, the Jewish word for swimming, for a hole. Yes, it was like a swimming hole. They called it the luge. But that Summer Outing Association was something that I'll never forget. And I remember names like Abe and Max Samuels that were part of that, and Maury Goldman and his brother Joe and his brother Jack Goldman and my uncle Harry Rubin. I'm sure that we could reconstruct them. I'm sure if you talk to Maury Goldman, he could tell you who was there. He's still around in a very keen mind. He'd be a good guy for you to talk to if you haven't done it. But he can tell you all about the old Summer Outing Association and who belongs.
Where was it located?
Located in Chester, Ranchester, Pennsylvania. But they had this land there that... And it was only when the country clubs began to come up that this thing finally disintegrated. But I remember that very well.
Your father had many siblings. Could we go in? Do you remember the order of ages?
Oh, sure. I don't remember the exact age.
No, but Uncle Sam was the oldest.
Uncle Sam, well, my dad was the oldest. And then... the guy who was your Uncle Jack was second.
I thought Abe was.
No? Now, Abe was the first one into the company. He was there even before my father.
Why didn't he know that?
Well, he worked for his father. He was in junkyard 15. He was right out of high school. Uncle Jack was the only one of the brothers that went to the only one of the brothers and sisters that went to college. He graduated from Penn State. Studied metallurgy. And then the next one was Uncle Abe. It may not have been May the next one. It may have been Ida. His sister Ida was probably next. and then up leg, and then up behind it, and then anesthetic. There's enough that you couldn't. And then Uncle Money. And the two girls, the two women in Uncle Money, Emmanuel Livingston, and the other one that was still living.
And your mother's family? That was a large family also, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, there were several. I don't know how many children my grandparents had all together, because they were a couple that died earlier. So. But there were eight that grew up. And I don't know the exact order of them, but I can tell you who the four men were and who the four women were. Four men were Harry Rubin and George Rubin. He has a son, Gary, who's with our company guy. And oh, Erwin Rubin, who died at the age of 29, who at 6 was contracted to the Marine, during his service in the Army in the Second World War. He died at the age of 29. I remember he was 29, and my Uncle Monty was 19 at the time, and I was 9. Remember that when before he died, we talked about there being 10 years between us. And then Uncle Monty and his four brothers, and the four sisters were Annie, who later became Neha, and that's my mother, and there's Levinson, and her sister Beth, who became Levinson also, and I got married, and the fifth sister was Dorothy. She married a guy named Chetkin, was the stepmother to more Chetkin.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So those are the four brothers and sisters on my mother's side.
Where did you go to grade school?
I went to home at Joel and the Essence on one part of it facing Ward and the other facing Boston. I don't know which is the top. I think it's 40 feet. Until I was in the fourth grade when I went to Colfax.
Warden Dawson would be Oakland.
Oakland, yeah. Mm-hmm. You can see home school when you drive down the Boulevard of the Allies and you go over the bridge on the left before you get down the hill toward the Bates Street.
Do you remember much about your time there? Any teachers
yeah,
in particular?
I do remember a lot of people. One thing that happened, when people grow older, they remember very well what they did 65 years ago, and they can't remember what they did an hour ago. You probably heard that before.
No, I think it happened to me more just as much.
Well, I do remember some of my friends who went to school with me and home school. There was a guy named Bill. Well, my closest friend was Howard Levine, who's still my closest friend, believe it or not. All of these years, as a matter of fact, if somebody says, how long do we know each other? We trust people that are mothers to take walks together when they were pregnant with us, and I think that's true. But Howard Levine was my closest friend then. And then there was a guy named Milt Brody, who was his father was named Dave Brody, and he used to be the orchestra leader at the old Grand Theater. The old timers will remember Dave Brody. You see, when they had a movie, they'd have an orchestra in the front and they'd play the music because it was silent movies. Then there was a guy named Willie Goldberg, who now is still alive. He lives down, I think he was in Florida, although I haven't seen him all these years. And then there was Ira Baldwin, who died a few years ago, and Lenny Harris, who is also a close friend of mine. And I've had some contact with him, because he later moved to Squirrel Hill and went to Autodice with me. But he also lives in Florida, but he was back for our 40th reunion. So, as a matter of fact, the four of us, I think, Billy Goldberg, Harry Levine, Milt Brody, and I had something called the Open Band, All for One and One for All. But we used to climb trees and do all the things that kids do. And many other Squirrel people that went to school with me, was Bill Skirbo, and if I remember correctly, lived in Oakland in those days. And a girl named Gert was struggling. I forget who she married later, but she was a Squirrel lady.
Remember any of your teachers?
Sure, I remember the principal of the school was Mr. Kober. It was C-O-B-E-R, and I left. And,
was that at home or at Colfax?
At home. And I had Miss Sugar. Sugar, she was my first grade teacher, or my kindergarten teacher. I'm not sure whether Sugar or Sugar. I'm not sure which of that either. And I had a Mr. Klein, and Miss Sambo, and Miss Martin. I remember Miss Martin telling the girls that when I sit down, they don't think they're dressed up. They put it down this way, they sit down. And Miss Stambaugh had, we divided the class into two or three different parts. Darn if I can remember, but there was a smart student in the middle one and the other one. Either as smart as those who pay attention. One was called the Busy Bees. That was a very smart one. I can't remember what they called the rest of them.
Were you the rest of them?
I'm sure I was.
Was there much difference between Colfax and home?
I guess there was. I think there was quite a bit of difference, but I don't remember too well. I do remember the fire, I do remember very well, you know, homeschool, being on the firestone, the fireplace, I mean, when I was very good, they'd give me a job of cleaning the erasers for the blackboard, and I'd go out there on the fire escape and go like that. And I remember that the fire drills at homeschool very well. And I remember that, believe it or not, that they had a play yard, and then in part of the Pendorf place they had billy goats for a while, or in the schoolyard. I don't know what they were doing there, but I remember that. And there was a guy named Isidore Danovich who was there with me, and he was later to Autodice with me, and now he has a real estate company in fact. But his brother Abe went to Colfax. But one thing I want to tell you about Colfax was that I remember that when the kids from Colfax would come up over the hill, some of them were Jewish kids, and the kids from the Catholic school, they kind of passed each other on what we called Wilmot Hill, which was also the Boulevard of the Allies. Faith Street used to be Wilmot Street, and there used to be Hunky Hollow. So we used to look, it was all filled in since, there was a deep, sudden drop. We'd look over the side of what's now the boulevard, and we'd look down on Hunky Hollow, but the kids used to come from a Catholic school there, and when they'd pass us, they would...